All right. Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. HaKol Havarim BeYisrael. Ani Rotze Omer. Baruch Haba. And we are ready to go. Baruchim Habaim to all of them. So we are going to continue what we were talking about last night. I hope in the beginning of that Bible study, I was able to show you guys that God is setting dates, okay? He set the date for his resurrection. He set the date for the beginning of grace. He set the date for the end of grace. He set the date for, you know, the Jubilees. So someone said this morning, I was watching a video, and he says, you know, we're not date setters, we're date revealers. If you're doing it right, like you're just revealing the dates that are already in the Bible and bringing them to the attention of the body of Christ. I said, that is pretty accurate. Because all I've done with Heshvan 17 is reveal to you the date of that grace is going to end. And the date grace end at the time of the flood was when the flood started. That was that. You can ask the people off the boat, grace was over. So we know when grace ends, and God is the one who said, I have told you the end from the beginning. So God is the one who has done this. And I don't know why people do that. Nope. I can't, you know, it's like they don't know my schedule or something.
I'm gonna wait till you start clapping.
Yeah. Yeah, so. All right, so let's begin this day with prayer.
Yeah.
And we're gonna begin with the Lord's Prayer because it has in the scripture the Altivienu Ledemasa. Keim hadzilanu netzal netzal nanu, which means rapture us from evil.
Yes.
Wow, never knew that before until our Jewish friend Yaakov Ramzel explained that netzal is a rapture word. It doesn't just mean to rescue; it means to take me and snatch me away from danger. And that's what's about to happen. So let's read this, or let's say this prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Bow your heads. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshimcha Tavo Mehuteka Yase Rotsanaka Be'aret Ke Asher Ne'asa Beshamaim. Tenanu Hayom Lechem Hukenu Usilak Lanu Et Ashmetenu. Ke asher solichem anachnu le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu lude masa ki im chadzilanu min chara. Ki lacha hamamlaka vehagivra vehatif eret leolamei leolamim. Amen. Beishim Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim. Bon alech, let's go and let's get started on today's message. Okay.
Got a couple of shout outs.
All right, let's see, have some shout outs before we get going.
All right, from CU Buff County, Colorado.
Go CU Buffs. I guess we're going to have a half a season. They just said the Pac-10 is going to have a half a season. So go Buffs.
Bedford, Texas.
Hallelujah.
Houston, Texas. Germany. Michigan. Sparks, Nevada. Rock, Texas.
All right.
Nebraska, Colorado Springs.
I love Nebraska, says, because by all means, well, Nebraska and Colorado people don't get along well. And I'm a Colorado Buff through and through. And if they're true Nebraskan, they are big red through and through. So even though we don't get along on the field, we are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Christ overcomes a lot. Hallelujah.
Southern California. Okay, here we go. And I bet you when we get to heaven, I'll be able to pronounce this.
What's that? Namibia.
Yep, that's the one.
Namibia.
Amen.
That's it. I looked it up, Pastor Ben. Namibia. Namibia.
God bless you.
All right. Hallelujah.
Uganda. Gladewater, Texas. Let's see. Ennis, Texas. I think that's what it is. E-N-N-I-S.
Yes.
Texas. Pittsburgh, undefeated Steelers Nation.
Ah, rub it in. The Raiders are almost undefeated.
Round Dock, Texas.
Hallelujah. Can I say something about Pittsburgh Steelers before? Yeah. Their coach, who is a Christian, is supporting Underground Railroad, which rescues children out of trafficking. He financially helped support that whole mission.
Is that the one where his son went and bought?
No, that's Tim Tebow. But the coach of the Steelers also helps with the rescue of children. And so God bless them. You deserve to be undefeated. Hallelujah.
San Antonio, Texas. Let's see. And so far, that's it. And Nevada, Colorado Springs, Nevada.
All right.
Panama.
Hallelujah.
The country, Panama salute.
Hallelujah, Panama.
Salute.
Yeah, that's where Roberto Duran's from.
And New York.
Yeah, okay, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And me and Drea took a walk through Central Park. And that was my dream since I was a little boy. I was like, I want to take a walk through Central Park with a cute chick. And me and my wife did that.
Poland is timing.
Hey, Poland, how you guys doing? I got your email, and I am like almost down to my last of my emails. Because sometimes they get stacked up, and then I have to go through all of them. But praise God.
5,000
degrees. Yeah, isn't that something? I wouldn't want to be Pastor Ben. I think his job is worse than mine.
Miami, Florida's chiming in.
Hey, that's my hometown. Liberty City boy, that's me. Jackson Memorial Hospital. Hallelujah. All right, I just want to read this right here. This is from the book of Enoch. And it says, but in another year, they shall take thee from the midst of them, and thy heart shall be strengthened, for the elect shall point out righteousness to the elect. The righteous with the righteous shall rejoice, congratulating each other, but sinners with sinners shall die. Hallelujah. That's in the book of Enoch. It says, when we get there, the righteous will congratulate the righteous. We will congratulate each other. You made it. High five, brother. You made it. Ah, so I read that this morning and I said, boy, I love that, because I want to get there and I want to congratulate you, because you know what? You fought the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Because anyone not fighting is in trouble. Okay, now we're going to go back to a wonderful scripture that I read last night. And I'm going to read it again. But maybe what I should do is give you understanding before I do. Okay? All right. Now, let me think of how. Okay. Michonit. If I say the word Michonit, right? Michonit Shili, which means my car, right? She is not running well. Why do I call her a she? Is my car male or female? No, but the language is male and female. Amikonichali lono seako kaktov. Okay? He lono seako kaktov. Why? I'm saying that he means she in Hebrew. She is not running well. Okay? But Mikonit is not a man. A car is not a man or a woman, but it's a gender-based language. You understand?
Yeah.
Chachama is wisdom in Hebrew. Okay? Once I put the hay on the end of chacham, because see, Pastor Ben, he who chacham, he is wise. Hu chacham. Why am I saying chacham? Because it's a male, okay? He's a man, so he chacham. But if I see a woman, I say, he chachama. Okay, so she is, I put the hay on the end of it, and I make that word what it originally is in its root is a female-based word, okay? So, as I'm writing in the book of Proverbs, there is no way that I can call a female word, which is kakama, he, because of the structure of the language, okay? But it doesn't mean, you know, somebody says, you know, mother wisdom is in the sky. And no, there's no female wisdom. There's no, this is just the language, okay? So when you're reading Proverbs chapter 9, it reads in proper Hebrew and it's translated in proper English, because in the when we see it in the Hebrew, we go, oh, it's female. Oh, so we have to use her. Okay, but you have to understand from the scripture who the scripture is talking about. Okay, because it says wisdom has built her house. Can I ask you something? Who went back to build a home for us? Okay, all right, now watch. Wisdom has built her house, okay? She has hewn out 7 pillars. Who's the pillars?
Church.
The church, the congregation, the pillars, okay? Which have to be removed, okay? So it says, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. Now, who has to prepare the meal for the bride?
The groom.
If you read in Samson, Samson was preparing the banquet meal because he was about to get married. When the boat that had the 153 fish on it finally got to shore, Jesus had already cooked the meal. You understand? Because the bridegroom is going to make sure that the meal is prepared. Okay? Because this is about to be a wedding between who? Wisdom and church, and the 7 pillars are about to get married. So he's finished his house. He's built his house. Wisdom has built her house. Kachama, okay? Lifnot chabet. And so she's built her house, and she has hewed out 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat with mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Yeshua has set his table. Wisdom has set his table. She has sent out her maids, and she has called, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here. Who are the simple? Those that are the ones that have accepted Christ, who are living a simple, righteous life before God, okay? Now, she says to those who lack judgment, to those who are not born again, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. But first, leave your simple ways and you will live. Now I want to explain to you something. Let the simple come in here is it, and the simple that is used in verse 6 are two different Hebrew words. The word simple in the first one is more like a meek person. Mm-hmm. The word simple that is used in the verse 6 is let your simple ways, which means foolishness. Mm-hmm. Let your simple ways and leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. So God is inviting those who are foolish and have no understanding to abandon your ways and come in and enjoy the meal and the banquet and the home that Jesus has built, okay? So, I'm going to go over here because we're in class. That's good. We are in class. I keep forgetting today is Hebrew class. I can take my time.
Amen.
Okay? So, let me see if I can write the word in Hebrew. Here it is. Now, here it is. Here's the word in Hebrew. Hakam. Starts off with what? Chet, which is what? Life, right? Then, Kaf. Mem. Living water. And then you have Hey at the end, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So life speaks living water through the Holy Spirit. Chakam. Okay? So God is what? He is inviting us to enjoy wisdom. See that letter right there? Now, I can't say Pastor Ben Chakama because I would be calling him a girl. I'd have to erase that. Pastor Ben Chakam. Okay? He's Chakam. But wisdom is a female word. So I'm going to add the hey, and now it becomes a female word. So when the English translate it out, they make it a she. Okay? I'm telling you one more time. Don't get to heaven and say, where's Mother Wisdom? Because that'll be a foolish question, all right? Okay, so Kakam is. Now, the numerical value of Kakam is, let's see, it's 37 in the original, okay, in the ordinal is 37, so it has two. 37, and then the standard value, meaning that this is an 8, this is 20, and this is 40, and this is 5, would be 73. Okay, so you got 73. So look at the reverse, 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 right? Okay, now we're going to start understanding wisdom. And because we're going to get to pillars, this is all to get you to understand what the pillars are. Now, this is the numerical value of Genesis chapter 1. Every letter in Genesis chapter 1 is numerical value is 2,701. So now, like this is reversing itself, I'm going to reverse the numbers. 1,072. 2701 plus 1072 equals 3773. Mm. Equals what? Both, no matter how you spell it out, both equal wisdom. So Genesis chapter 1 is saying, here is wisdom. Wisdom is found where? In the book of Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because God has just told you in chapter 1, the gospel. And you don't really understand it, but he said better sheet. And once he said better sheet, he threw it into, because Rashit, the word Rashit means first fruit. Who's the first fruit? Jesus Christ. Bar his son, bara. So you got all of these words in Genesis, and we've done this in our Hebrew class, that tell you the whole gospel story. The thorns on his head, everything is in Genesis chapter 1. Numerical value, 2701, 28 letters, okay? In those 28 letters, 2701, flip it backwards, 1072, it comes out to 3773, which is basically wisdom. You understand? So when you say, oh, God wrote a book, You know what I mean? Let's read the book that God wrote. You got to remember the same guy that wrote the book designed your body to heal itself, okay? Orchestrated the seasons of the years, spoke the stars into existence, okay? So when God wrote a book and he's saying, study to show thyself approved, he's saying there's some stuff in there you can study and find out more about me, okay? God is wisdom, and he establishes that in Genesis chapter 1, okay? So now, as we go to the word pillar, let's find out who the pillar is, okay? Let's go and find out, because the numerical value for pillar in Hebrew is 120, okay? And of course, it's also the numerical value for congregation. Okay, so the pillars, let's see if the pillars is the congregation. Let's go to, I think, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 15, I'm sorry. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. So the pillar and foundation of truth is what? The church. You understand? So this is why God is promising us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And what does the Lord say? He says, 10, 11. Him who overcomes, Jesus is talking, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he write on him of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to what? The churches, which is going to be a pillar in the temple of God. The pillars are the temple. Okay, the pillars is the congregation. So when you see that word in Proverbs chapter 9, and you say, wait a minute, wisdom has built seven pillars. Who built the church up? Jesus, by his death, resurrection on the cross. He created the church. He has made the church to be how many members? Laodicea. Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamos, Smyrna, and Ephesus, seven churches. And when he comes again, who's he coming for? The seven churches. I couldn't stand that. When, you know, some people get too Jewish with this thing. They start trying to figure out the Bible in different ways. Church of Philadelphia is getting saved. What? Like, you know, don't just make up stuff. You know, all of the churches, all church members since the beginning of time, since Christ left, make up one of these seven churches. Ephesus was the church that existed when Christ left. Then as time moved on, then Smyrna became the second church. Yes, Smyrna became the second church. Then after that, Pergamos became the third church. And Pergamos meant mixed marriage. So it was like the Christians that were not falling into Babylonianism and mixed marriage of idol worship and Christianity. So, but those Christians are going to make it in. Then you got the Church of Thyatira and what they went on in their time period. Now, all of these are cities, but even on the calendar, they're clockwise, so you can see that God is doing this in a time manner. So who's the last church? Laodicea, which is us. We are the church of Laodicea, which we are a mess.
A mess.
Okay. And the reason we're a mess is because somehow the word of God got ripped out of the church and people started teaching, name it and claim it and all of these other things and trying to get you hooked into the world. And you forgot that Israel has been reborn. You forgot that God is controlling things. You forgot to live righteous. All of this stuff because some people that were doing this for money were preaching name it and claim it and prosperity message. And so the church got lost. That's the church of Laodicea. Yeah. So in Laodicea, what does God say? You are the ones who will say, I have everything I need. I no longer need God. And he says, you are poor, wretched, blind and naked, Laodicea, but take from me mud, put it on your eyes so that you can see. So God was saying the last church is going to be the just a mess. Okay, so understanding scripture is very important, that we are the pillar that God is talking about in the book of Proverbs, when it says wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars, seven churches, because wisdom is our rest. Wisdom is our grace. What is Noah? Grace forward or rest forward, grace backwards. Okay, so wisdom is our is the builder of the seven pillars. And the builder of the seven pillars has prepared his dining table for the seven pillars.
Yes.
Okay? He has set his table. Okay? They're calling from the highest point in the city. And he's saying to them, anyone who lacks understanding, leave your foolish ways and accept what God has done for you, and you too can be in the banquet. Why? Because the boat haven't left yet, but it's about to leave. Yesterday began the 7 days before the anniversary of the flood. And I'm telling the whole body of Christ, look, God has found you righteous in this generation. For these 7 days, hold on to your righteousness, okay? Because when the flood waters begin, the boat is going up, okay? So let's continue because that is very important scripture for us to understand. Now, we did this whole thing, and I really, well, it's school. It's a Hebrew class. So I can do it. You know, that just frees me up when I can do that. That just gives me, like, I give you permission to teach. Hallelujah, God Almighty. Let's erase some of this.
I already put it on Facebook.
Okay, good. So we're going to erase this. We're going to leave pillar up there. 17th of Heshvan. Do you guys realize the 17th of Heshvan this year is 11-4, the election day? Do you guys realize that? Do you realize exactly 17 years ago, Jesus visited Rabbi Kaduri and told him, I know you're a rabbi and you guys don't believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but I'm the same Messiah who died on the cross that grew up in Nazareth. And so he left the note saying, oh, I met the Messiah and he told me who he really is. So, and that happened on what? 11-4-2003, exactly 17 years ago, which will be Heshvan 17. So that should be scary enough, right? But let's continue because we love the Bible and we love this study. Okay. So let's do the same thing with 120. Since 120 is the number of congregation, let's do this, because this is what God did with the other number, right? What God did with Genesis 1, all he did was flip it back on itself, and then it gave you wisdom, right? So let's flip 120 back on itself, and that would be 0 to 1. So that would equal what? That would equal 141, which is the Greek word for depart. Okay? So, so 120 reversed on itself gives you the Greek word, which is exomi, and that gives you the numerical value of 141. So it's telling you the truth. When I reverse this, this is what's going to happen. This is depart, because the church is going to depart. Okay. Now, let's reverse. Let's see. How do we reverse this? Oh, now listen. 17, why 17 is so important? 17 is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way to plus 17 is going to equal 153. What's 153 mean? That's the fish, but the Hebrew word for 153 is sons of God, B'nai Elohim. Yep, sons. We're going to put sons, because if I put just one, they look like only one of us going. Well, sons of God. These are the sons of God. If you accept Jesus Christ, you shall become the sons of the living God. Okay, so 153 is the numerical value for the sons of God. Okay. So 153 becomes a very important number, because this is how many fish they brought to the shore when Jesus called them from the shore and says, bring the fish you've caught. So they bring the fish to shore. And once they get to shore, what happens? Jesus is already cooked. This is not to cook your fish. I already made dinner, right? Your fish are representing who? The sons of God, the church. So now if that isn't enough, if you go Genesis chapter 1 and you count every word from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 12, how many apostles were there?
12.
Okay. You count every word, there will be exactly 153 words.
Wow.
Not in English, in Hebrew.
Right.
Okay. You have 153 words. So he's telling you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, he's telling you 12 are going to preach and capture 153 fish, the sons of God. So God already knows his plan. You understand?
Yes.
Oh, this is so beautiful. I just love the word of God. Now that we've done that, we look at the number 153. 153, let's turn it back on itself and say 351. And what does that give us in Greek? Ekklesia. What is ekklesia? Church. Ekklesia means church in Greek. So once I turn this back on it, it gives us this number, 504, which is church in the Greek. So God is telling us what? The 120 is the church. The pillars are the church. The congregation is the church. Flip it back on itself. What are they going to do? They're going to depart when? In the 120. Now we say, who are they going to depart with? The 153 fish. Turn that back on itself. And who is the 153 fish? That's the church. But wait a minute. 153 is just a derivative of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 all the way to 17. And it is a 153. So we're seeing that God's intelligence has been in this whole plan. Okay? So when you get to the portion of Psalms and God begins to blow your mind again, and you see, wait a minute, this guy's prophesying every event that happens in the 1900s. What I was trying to do last night was to get you guys to see I'm not some nut going, the 17th of Heshvan, I ate a donut and had a horrible dream. It's going to happen. I can feel it. Marty. Yeah. That's not what's going on here, right? That is not what's going on here. We are talking about a date that has already been established by the same God who did all of this when he wrote his book. He said, I'm telling you the end from the beginning. What's the end? The end is going to be, the end of grace is going to be the boat going up and the flood happening on the earth. That's the end of grace. Everybody in the tribulation period is not going to be saved by grace. They're going to be saved by their faithfulness in keeping the confession of Jesus Christ until death. Okay? But while you're in grace and you can repent of your sins and you can you can live a life worthy of the calling and you can strive for excellence and righteousness in God, you can fall short of it and still repent and still be called excellent in God. But that's called grace. Yes. That time, God is not going to contend with you forever with that. OK, God said grace is going to end. I'm not going to contend with you forever concerning grace. OK, because some people, the scripture says they take advantage of grace.
Yes.
OK, they insult the spirit of grace, the word God says. By insulting the spirit of grace, you say, well, I'm just going to do what I do. Because I already accepted Christ and I'm going to just, I'll pass my grace card and that'll pay for all, you know what I mean? That'll pay for everything I'm doing, whether I'm doing it on purpose or not. I'm just being me and I don't need to strive to live righteous because I'm saved by grace and grace alone am I saved. And that is the only, and so therefore, I can sin as much as I want. And then the biggest lie in the church right now is God's grace got me. So if I'm sinning, it doesn't really matter. When you sin, do what 1 John says and repent. Yes. Turn from that because you don't want to be a lukewarm Christian when the trumpet blows.
Amen.
You don't want to be a bride with no and has no garment on when the trumpet blows. Now, I just gave you three things that God said will not make the rapture. Yep. And all of those people know God. Yep. Okay? So I'm saying, let's take care of each other. If we see a brother or sister that's in sin, let's go to them and say, how are you doing in your walk with Christ? You know what I mean? Let me pray with you, you know? And if you notice sin, let them know that this sin, let's repent of this now because this is not of God. If he repents, I've saved a soul from death, from Hades. You understand? We have to understand our own battle and because we're on the battlefield. God has told us what's going on. Not many are saved. Very few. The road is narrow. Jesus is telling you all of these things, right? He's never said, oh, don't worry, the road is broad. Once you're in. And anybody who even slightly believes in Jesus, whether they're Catholic or whatever, is going because we know it's a narrow road and you've got to make sure you come in through Christ alone. And you come in by grace, but you don't try to live and insult the Spirit of grace while you're walking out your walk, because God says, do that in fear and trembling, because there was a group of people that belonged to God. And because of their unbelief, they did not enter into the promised land. God is saying, don't let that be you. Praise God. Amen. All right. So, how much time I got, Pastor Ben?
15 minutes.
Wow, that's a lot of time. It's a gang of time for a guy who just finished.
You know, you don't have to take it all.
Yeah. But I do think. Because I just believe that we're going to be celebrating soon. I do want us to go to the book of Revelation. Because I do want us to understand the process, okay? And I'm going to try to do this process very fast. The process, I'm giving myself a little air here. The process is already been written out by God, okay? There is no such thing as the Antichrist being revealed before the church leaves. Okay. There's no such thing as the seals being opened before the church leaves. Okay. You got to understand this. When we leave, that will not start the tribulation. That will start a period of trouble called the 40 days of flood water, okay? That will just cause a time of flood water. What has to happen for the tribulation to begin? Someone has to come forward and declare to the world that he's the answer. Mm-hmm. And once he declares that he's the answer, the world will praise him, because he's found what? The end of the trouble. And he will establish himself as being the new leader of the entire world. Okay? And so now he will set himself up to be that Antichrist figure to lead the whole world into one world unity. Okay? But after we leave, he doesn't immediately, like the rapture happened and he immediately comes on the scene and makes this 7-year agreement. After we leave, there's trouble. Then after the trouble, he comes forth, he calms the sea, then he gives the peace agreement, okay? So we are gone and we are in the kingdom before any of this happens, okay? So I'm going to read Revelation chapter 4, because what we need to know are a few things. We need to know Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, which says the mystery of the seven stars that you saw that are in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstand is this, the seven stars of the seven angels of the seven churches. Isn't that nice? We got angels that are watching over the churches.
Yeah.
And it says, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Okay? So you don't have any confusion when you see the lamps.
Right.
Again, okay? So we go through seven churches. Ephesus, these are the pillars. Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea, which is us. The last church, and Laodicea means ruled by the people. Okay, so that means we've kicked Jesus out. That's why he's knocking on the door saying, if anybody's in there and want to hear the real gospel, I'm outside. And that's a sad thing for the church at the time.
Yeah.
So after the church of Laodicea, Here we are in Revelation chapter 4, and the 4 is, if I said 4 in Hebrew, I would say delete. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the delete, the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is the door. So here the door is, and he says, after I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this, after the churches. So now John is in heaven. How do we know? Verse 2 says, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. Mm-hmm. Where there's only one throne. Where's Jesus' throne? It's one throne. Jesus, God, Jesus is the Father. Yeah. Go back in John and find out. He'll tell you, oh, by the way, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. How is it that you're asking me, where's the Father? Haven't I been with you long enough? You don't know me? Oh. Don't you know when you see me, you've seen the Father? Okay, we could argue that all day too. So he sees a throne in heaven. So now when he sees this throne, this is something, it says they would, it says a rainbow resembling emeralds encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 elders. So that means the 24 elders are being seated. They're seated. What happened with David? He had to seat and divide the priesthood into 24 courts. And then they had his crowning ceremony. A crowning ceremony is about to happen. So we got the 24 elders, and they're seated, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. Oh my goodness, a crowning ceremony is going to happen when we get to heaven. And from, are we going to be there? Let's see. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings of pearls and thunder. And seven pillars, seven lamps, seven churches were blazing. That means that now we don't need a band, we are lights. Yeah. So now, and they were blazing. And it says, these are the seven spirits of God. Who has the spirit of God inside of them? The church. And it says, also, before the throne, there was what looked like to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Love the teaching. I forget the guy at that time was teaching, and he had to translate the whole Greek into English. And he says that sea of glass means peace, clear as crystal. So the church is there, and they're in peace. Like the Shulamite, it means beautiful, at peace, okay? So once we get raptured, the beautiful bride is in heaven at peace. Oh, am I going to be at peace? And we're going, and Enoch said we're going to celebrate each other and congratulate each other. Hallelujah. Okay? And it says in the center of the throne were flashes of, so anyway, then they say, holy, 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 and they take off their crowns, they throw them at the feet, and we announce that Yeshua HaMashiach is king of Hebron. But he's not king of Israel yet. 7 years later, he's got to go back and fight a war against who? Ishbosheth and the evil man and the people that have set themselves up in the world and have made themselves king over the earth, knowing that God has never said that an evil man is going to be king over the earth. And they have made themselves also king over Israel. And that's God's place. So the Messiah has to come back 7 years later with the church and the angels and fight a war, which we don't even get to fight in. Because he goes,
and that's it.
And they're burnt up. Okay? So we come back. Now, while John, it says, now, after the crowning ceremony, it says, then I looked, he said, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And it says, but no one in heaven or on earth was worthy to open the scroll. And so John started crying, like, No one has the power to open this scroll and reveal that they own earth and that they own man. And then he says, stop crying, John. The Lamb who sits in the middle of the throne, okay, who sits in the throne, he has the power to open the seals. Now, the church is already in heaven, okay? They've already had a crowning ceremony. Lots going on in heaven.
Amen.
The earth is having 40 days of trouble trying to figure out, you know, is the pandemic even as important as the rest of this stuff now, right? So I'm just letting you know there's two parallel worlds going on right now, and that's heaven and the earth. Actually, there's three. If you want to get in all those cartoons and parallel universes, there's three. There's hell, there's heaven, and there's earth. Okay, so there you go with your superhero cartoons. Okay, that's your parallel universe. So now on earth is going a flood, and we're in heaven. We've had a crowning ceremony, and now we see that John is crying, and the Lamb comes forth and takes the seal out of the hand of God. Now, someone says, how is that possible if Jesus in heaven is a resurrected body? In heaven? Yes. What do you think resurrected bodies live?
Yeah.
And in that resurrected body belongs to who? God.
Yep.
Who died on the cross? God. So that means God has a resurrected body in heaven. And so that resurrected body goes toward God. He takes the throne. He takes the scroll out of his hand. And what does he do? He begins to open the scroll to prove to the world that the owner of earth and man is Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? So now in chapter 6, I watched as the first seal was open. Okay, the first of the seven. And I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, a tekel, which is a covenant, and he was given a crown and rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Okay? So he's in a white horse. He's pretending to be Jesus. He's got a crown on his head. He's pretending he's the king. That's Ish-Boeth. That's not the real king coming on a white horse in chapter 19. And on his leg is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the real king. So who's this imposter? He's going out bent on conquest. What? Subduing the earth under his authority and his power. And you will not be able to eat or do anything unless you take his mark and his name. So that's who's coming. But where's the church? Already in heaven. We already had a crowning ceremony. We already saw Jesus open the seals. We're in heaven. So don't get into any foolish talk from anyone talking about a mid-trib tribulation. Because when we leave, it won't be till 7 years till we come back. Okay? And understand that Psalms 21 through 27 and 28 shows you the end of the tribulation. Psalms 124 shows you the war that the Antichrist goes and sits in the temple, and the war that begins in the middle of the tribulation. Everything's already planned, you guys.
Right.
You think God did all of this in Genesis and everything, and then you're going to say, oh, but yeah, but he hasn't planned the tribulation. We only got 3.5 years. No. The time of Jacob's trouble is 7 years. The time of the famine in the book of Joseph, 7 years. Okay? So let's not get involved with YouTube foolishness.
Amen.
Because everybody's a teacher on YouTube, and you guys know that. And okay. So I want you to know that. Now, this other thing here, watch this.
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Good. That's perfect time. Now watch this. In Revelation chapter 7 is the end of the tribulation. Okay? And at the end of the tribulation, it says here, After this, I saw an angel standing in the four corners of the earth, holding back the winds and the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on the trees. Then I saw another angel coming down from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he called out in a loud voice to the angel who had given power to harm the land and the earth, do not harm this. And then he says he saw 144,000 sealed from the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Then in verse 9, it says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation. This is the end of the tribulation. So when he sees all these people, now the angel wants to know, who are these people and where did they come from? And at the end of Revelation chapter 7, it says, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. So there's a multitude of people that are going to get saved out of the tribulation. So who's the rapture for? The rapture is for the generation of the righteous that have oil in their lamp for the bridegroom when he comes. Who are this multitude that refused to take the mark and would rather die? Because now they realize, oh, God is real. The guy yelling on the corner wasn't lying.
He was right.
So now you got this multitude, and I think God is awesome that even though you missed the boat,
awesome.
He says, you know what? This is not going to be like the flood then, because when that boat left, everybody died. This time, when the boat leaves, I'm still going to extend my hand of mercy upon you. And you can still confess my name all the way to death, and I'll still give you eternal life and a resurrected body.
Amen.
God is mean. I've never seen somebody so kind. Mm-hmm. So you guys, look, our plan is set. Don't get involved with foolish teaching. Don't get involved with foolish calendars, because now they're telling me the Enoch calendar is a solar calendar. But the whole Bible is based on new moons and full moons. So the Hebrew calendar has always been a moon cycle, which means because you can't even start a month in Israel until you see what? The new moon. So the moon controls the calendar in Israel. So I'm not going to go with a solar calendar. It's the real one. I'm just going to go with what the Bible says. Okay, because the Bible says that they celebrate new moon festivals. They can't start their month until they see the crescent moon appear. So their whole calendar is set on the moon cycle. You know when the 15th of the month is in Israel. Why? You walk outside and see you can see a full moon. And you'll know that's the 15th of the month. You'll know when Jesus Christ was crucified, it was the Nisan. Guess what? When he died, guess what appeared in the sky? A blood moon, a full blood moon. Okay? So that tells you that was the middle of the month. So the calendar is right. All you got to do is be ready. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. It is time for Q&A.
All right. Da 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 da. We got our weak song still. Da 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 da. But the Fletchers said they're going to write us a song. All right.
So looks like our first question from Robert Violet. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
Is it possible for Pastor Sandy to do teachings daily till we leave to meet the Lord?
Yeah. Y'all did not have me up in the clouds already waiting for you. That ain't happening. Y'all can try to wear me out. I'll be like, Pastor Sandy collapsed before the 17th of Hezron. I guess we'll see him in the clouds. He sure was a good man. No, I'm not going to try to do that unless the Lord tells me. I'm almost 60, man.
Do you think it's possible there will be 7 years of seals for Left Behind Church? Wait a minute. Do you think it's possible there will be 7 years of seals for Left Behind Church, followed by 7 years of Trib for Jews.
That's that weird 14-year tribulation. That's another YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's another YouTube that go, the tribulation is going to be 14 years.
Oh.
Yeah, but like I say, you know, you're like, all you got to do is sign up. You don't need, you know what? You don't even have to show your ID to get a YouTube, to start a YouTube church. You don't even have to show ID. You just got to type it in. You can even type super anointed.
Yep.
Yep. It doesn't mean God called you, and there's no 14-year tribulation, okay?
Abigail is chiming in, helping out.
Thank hey, you. Abigail.
What if the rapture, won't happen on the 4th of November?
I seriously doubt it. But if it doesn't, someone asked me, are you going to stop preaching the gospel? Are you going to stop preaching and stop talking about the rapture if the rapture doesn't happen on the 4th? First of all, I sincerely doubt that that's going to happen. Second of all, I've been doing this since 2003. And let me tell you something. I will never be more disappointed than 2010. Okay, I will never be more brokenhearted than 2010. You know what I did after 2010? I kept preaching Jesus Christ, his coming, the wedding, the banquet. But this time, as I'm showing you this, I'm showing you something that God showed me 3 weeks ago. I'm just excited about it. I'm revealing to you why he changed Heshvan to the 8th month. So the church can understand that this has always been organized by God, that the 17th of Heshvan is the end of grace. And so what I've shown you, the God wants you to pay attention and to alert the body of Christ, which is what I'm doing, that here you have the date in front of you. You're in the 120th year. You're past the 6,000th year. So if you're not prepared, it's not because God didn't warn you and God didn't give the word out, because I'm not the only person preaching rapture. So everybody should be preparing. I'm giving you, revealing you the date that God has given in the Bible. So, but no, I won't stop. I wouldn't stop preaching the gospel if you put a gun to my head. I would go, Jesus saves. Shoot.
Right.
Yes.
Fourth, will Pastor Sandy continue the end time teaching?
Yes. We're still in the end times. I'm going to continue till Corona goes away. How's that? Yeah, no, I'm going to continue. Of course, because I can't change the fact that Israel is back in the land. I can't change the fact that the Six-Day War happened. I can't change the fact that the Jubilees have been established. There's a lot of things I can't change the fact. Okay, so, but I won't get up in here going, I got a new date for you, because I'm telling you right now, I have no more dates. Okay, there are no more dates in my pocket. I don't have another date that I could say, oh, it might be on this. Every other date is not structured in scripture that says this is the date that grace ends. Okay, this is why I'm warning you. This is a huge date for the body of Christ. Okay? All I can do after that would be just wait with you.
Yeah.
And I could come here and say the rapture is going to happen, the Lord is coming, the wedding is still on, and I will still say that, but I will not say, and I think it's going to be around, because I don't think anything about being around, but I do think that any moment is going to happen.
Lord.
But right now, God is saying no. I'm not saying any moment. I've told you when grace ends, 17th of Heshvan. Keep your eyes open.
Is it wrong to show people how to heal themselves and to connect to the Holy Spirit for themselves?
No, that's called discipling. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling Drea the other day, she was like, how come you never get sick? And I say, I speak to my body all the time.
Yep.
I'm sitting up in the house and I will say to my body, come in line with the word of God in Jesus' name. You are healed from the toe to the top of your head. Every cell, every blood cell, you come in line with the word of God and work in proper order the way God made you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
I speak to my body and I expect it to obey.
Yes.
Okay? So, am I going to live forever? If the rapture didn't happen, no, I would have end of day two. But I'm telling you right now, I speak to my body health, okay? And so it's not wrong to teach somebody to speak health to themselves, okay? It's not wrong to teach somebody how to live in Christ, how to have authority that God has given you in Christ.
Beautiful. Pastor Sandy, does Satan know about what's coming next week?
I think he knows. You know how I know he knows? Because more people are mad at me about Heshbon 17 than ever before.
Really?
Yeah. And that everybody's coming at me with a new calendar and all these different things. You know, as much great email as I get, I want you guys to know, I get it kind of balances out. I get the, you're just a crazy nut. And I get, oh, Pastor Sandy, thank you for the message today. God bless you. Keep barking. Then I get, all the calendars have been off since the beginning of time. What are you talking about? You don't know anything. And I go, okay, throw this one in the trash. That's why I save the cards.
Right.
Because I know I got to be able to have some positive to look at to fight against all the, because if I show you my delete message on my Facebook, my delete messages are names are like this, okay? It's like a lot, you know, like they might think this guy just deleting people every week. But it has to be done.
Amen. Why did we not receive a 7-day warning to get on the ark, which was yesterday or today? Noah did.
Wow. So you didn't see the tornadoes down south? You didn't see the riots in Philadelphia? You didn't see the riots in Italy? You didn't see the lockdown in Israel and the riots in Israel? You didn't see the peace plan being hammered away with Lebanon and Israel yesterday? I think God has consistently been showing us signs, but yesterday was quite an eventful day. And so look back at what happened yesterday, okay? Because God is like, he didn't say, oh, he's going to write it in the sky so you could see it. Even when at the time, he just caused a great shaking to happen.
That's right.
Only people he knew to go into the ark, he only told 8 people to go into the ark. He didn't tell everybody. But when the earth shook, they was like, they didn't go, wow, Israel's making peace with another Arabic nation. Wait, they're rioting again over something in Philadelphia. They're burning up buildings. And wait a minute, fires are going on again up north and just started again. And he's showing you turmoil yesterday. All of these things were happening at once. And I was like, I started to post it. Like, look at all this stuff that's happening 7 days before. And I said, but the world is not going to take any of this as a warning. If you looked at what happened yesterday and you're in the church, you should go, this is a warning.
Yeah.
I took it as a warning, especially Israel trying to sign a peace deal with Lebanon. They just had a war with Lebanon like 2010 or something. Okay. Or 2014.
Pastor Sandy, Numbers 31. Chapter 31, verse 17. Why did they save the virgin?
Oh, you're talking about with Benjamin. Yeah, you're talking about with Benjamin. That's an end time prophecy. That's an end time prophecy that allows the tribe of Benjamin's wives so that they could come back in union with God, because they had been kicked out of the tribe for all the evil that they had done. So the tribe of Benjamin almost got eliminated. But so they said, none of our daughters can marry the tribe, any of the men in the tribe of Benjamin, right?
Yeah.
So like none of the men can marry any of the tribe of Benjamin. But at the end, God allowed a way for Benjamin to have wives so that they could repopulate and then become the sons of God once again. So it was just a prophecy about God's love and not the complete rejection of the Benjamins, which means sons of his right hand had been kicked out. So now the sons of his right hand have been reestablished. Amen. It's an end time prophecy.
3 days of darkness often takes place before a rescue in scripture.
I need to see when that one happened.
Do you think that there will be a 3 day darkness before the rapture?
No, I do not. I do not think there will be 3 days of darkness or 7 days of darkness. I think somebody will be getting married. Mm-hmm. I think somebody will be eating and sleeping and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. I think that'll be happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody will be sitting around in darkness going, something's going on. No, that ain't going to happen, because if it was going to happen in the scriptures, in Matthew, Jesus would have said, and they were eating and sleeping and marrying and giving in marriage. But then the lights went out for 3 days. No, he didn't say that. I'm only going to stick with the word of God. I know that got started on the internet and people ran with it.
Mm-hmm. What do we tell people left behind? How is grace extended after the church and the Holy Spirit leaves? How is a person to be saved during the tribulation?
Grace is not extended. Grace is over.
Yep.
At the rapture, grace is over. Now, salvation comes through faithfulness of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And you have to proclaim his name all the way to death. That is how you get saved in the tribulation. They will be saved by the testimony of their mouth. When in Revelation 7, when it says, these are those who have came out of the tribulation, out of the great trib, they have not bowed their knee to the Antichrist. They have not taken his name. They have not taken his mark. These are the people who rejected the Antichrist and died in the process of keeping the name of Jesus during the tribulation. Okay, so that is not by grace. Grace is, I sin, Father God, forgive me in Jesus' name. That's okay. You're back in right standing because we're in the dispensation of grace. Oh, rapture just happened. Grace is over with. Oh, forgive me, Father God. I'll forgive you if you confess my name till you die. That's the thing now. So it's a different dispensation. Okay, so that thing's going to be over with. Grace is going to be done with it. Like the law, when Christ resurrected, the law was done. The dispensation of the law was done. I was talking to a guy, he goes, so you're a dispensationalist. I guess if it's the Bible, yeah. You put a title on everything. Okay, yeah, I'm a dispensationalist. If it means the law was done, yep. You can't get saved by keeping the law.
Amen.
You're like, well, I keep the law, but I don't believe in Jesus. You about as going to hell as anybody. You can't keep the law. You know what I mean? You got to accept Jesus Christ by grace. And now you have a structure of how to stay in grace and how to walk out your salvation. But yeah, the dispensation of law is done. At the rapture, dispensation of grace finished.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen. Can you suggest an encouraging book for someone who is a believer, but spouse is living in fear and blinded by everything going on in the world, trying to stay encouraged until the end?
No, but you know what I would do? I would say, where can I get a copy of Left Behind? And I would say, honey, let's watch a movie. Or, and I wouldn't get the other movie called the Before the Wrath, because that's kind of a documentary. It's kind of like I'm preaching at you, but I'm not showing you what's about that. Left Behind is like, oh, this is a great movie. Wait a minute. Who just disappeared? Just sit there, honey, eat your popcorn and watch the rest. We'll have a talk after. Right. I would try to get my loved ones to watch the movie Left Behind.
The original.
And I mean the original.
Yeah.
So you could see exactly what's going to happen.
The one with Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, the one with Kirk Cameron. He should have got an Oscar.
Amen. Pastor Sandy, does 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet with the Lord. Does it confirm Hezron November 4th or Hezron 17th day?
Is that verse in the 17th verse of the fourth chapter?
We can look at
it. It is. Four is what? The door?
Yeah.
17 is salvation.
Yep.
Door?
Salvation.
Come up here, salvation. So it seems like God would put that in 4:17. It's like he put in the scriptures? Like he put the day the flood ended and on Mount Ararat, mm-hmm. In chapter 8, verse 4, the new beginning provided you by who? The door, which is Christ. Yeah. And let me tell you something. I'm one of those people, I think every letter, every number, every verse is orchestrated by God.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah has 66 chapters because the Bible has 66 books.
Yeah.
I think Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 12 has 153 verses because the Bible's organized by God. Because the 12 are going to preach about for the 153. I believe the conversation with Jesus and John when they mentioned the word birth 8 times. Mm-hmm. To let you know that the born again process is a new beginning, 8. And they say the word 8 times in 8 verses. Mm-hmm. I think that's organized by God.
Right.
So I think the whole Bible is structured by God. So if Thessalonians 4:17 says, and those who are still walking around shall be, I think it kind of confirms 17th is a rescue day.
Amen. So Pastor Sandy, here's a question, and I was hesitant to ask, but I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Is it wrong that the angels taught me how to heal myself and others? Should I not help others? Which angels is he talking about?
If the angels are from God and they taught you, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because remember, the scripture says in Galatians, even if an angel should preach to you a gospel other than the gospel that is preached, let them be accursed, okay? Because angels come in many different forms, okay? Matter of fact, Joseph Smith, an angel told him to start Mormonism, mm-hmm. okay? What else? Muhammad, an angel told him to start the new religion called Islam. Okay? So make sure that your angel that told you about how to heal yourself is in line with the word of God, because if it's from God, it'll work the way God says. Mm-hmm. And if it's working and you can heal people, heal people. But if it's, you know, an angel came to me, I always want to say, Lord, you said that angels have the ability to manifest themselves, even in human form in the world, right? He says, be careful when entertaining a stranger, because some have entertained angels unaware, okay? And it didn't say good angels or bad angels. It says some have entertained angels. So this is what I'm saying. I don't put a damper on anyone's gift or anything, but I always say if an angel told you, make sure it lines up with the word of God, okay? And that the angel that spoke to you is from God, because he will not tell you anything to do outside of the word of God, okay?
And you won't worship, and he won't accept worship.
And no, and he won't tell you to worship.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do the seals and both happen simultaneously in the tribulation or sequential?
No, the seals are the beginning of the tribulation. You got the first seal all the way to the sixth seal. First seal to the sixth seal and the seventh seal is a picture of the entire tribulation. So these things are overlapping. The bowls that are poured out are the last 10 days of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Those bowls are the last of the what goes in the last. And then the trumpets, I'm trying to figure out where the trumpets fit in, because they're overlapping in some places and they last all the way up until the end of the tribulation. So I haven't figured that out yet completely, because the two witnesses just kind of throws me off. But I do know that the trumpets are leading all the way up to the end of the tribulation.
Amen. And the last question, Pastor Sandy, is when does the 120th year end, and when is the next high watch date after November 3rd?
You mean November 4th?
Third
and fourth, mm-hmm. or fifth early in the morning. So you tell me the day, because it'll be the 17th of Heshvan, and I'm sorry, but when you wake up in the morning on the 16th of Heshvan in Israel, by the time you eat dinner, it'll be the 7th of Heshvan, and it'll be the 17th of Heshvan until the next evening. So that's two different days. So I wouldn't say the 3rd, I'd say the 4th is the 17th of Heshvan. And so the 4th could be the 4th and 5th. Mm-hmm. Or I would look at the Hebrew calendar if I was you. But there's no next date. If it doesn't happen, then you know what we need to all do? Wait with great expectation and encourage each other for that blessed day.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. So put on your cape and your flying suit, because I do not think that's going to happen. Okay, that's it. Praise God. I love you all. Ani achavaha kol havarim, all of our members, all of my friends. I love you guys. I'm loving that you want to learn the Word of God, and always ask questions, because to tell you the truth, there's really no bad question, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you ask the question, you asked it because you didn't know. And for me to say, well, I already know that, I'm so super intelligent, would just be stupid, right? And so I'm not a third person. I asked a lot of questions. I was just telling Pastor Ben, I said, I know I had some dumb questions. But God, in his graciousness, says, yeah. Let me tell you, this is so simple. It's pashut, Sandy, it's simple. You know, but if I don't ask, I'm still not going to know, right? So just ask the questions. And I'll answer them as best as I can. Praise God. And I'm telling you right now, when I'm here and I'm answering questions, I'm asking God for his wisdom, that I use kindness and that I use his wisdom in answering your questions, okay? Because I don't want to be a know-it-all. And if I don't know, the Holy Spirit will say, you don't know, shut up and just say you don't know. And that's what happens. All right, let's pray out. I hate, don't you hate when somebody don't know something and they're trying to answer it anyway?
Right.
It's like, dude, you should just say you don't know. You know, find out and come back to me. Well, the theoretical answer to that question is you don't know.
Yeah.
That's the theory. That's the theoretical answer to the question is. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yeah.
I wanted to read my scripture again, because the scripture that I read said that the righteous will congratulate the righteous in heaven. Congratulations, you made it. Did you see your place yet? I got my keys. I ain't been there yet, though, girl. Y'all just don't know. But, you know, I'm just gonna wait, because my day is coming. Here we are. Bless my people. Pastor Sandy, just as Aaron and Moses blessed the people of God, and tell them that the Lord bless you, declare it on them. That I declare the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, because we're in the time of grace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panaveleke vehuneke. Yi asay Adonai panaveleke veyasim lekai shalom. All right, you guys. Be Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefim, and liitriot be shavua haba. But guess what? This is my last week. This is my last week. I got what? Today, Sunday. Wednesday is the 4th, so I hope that I'm here and ready to fly, or I hope I leave early on the 4th, which would be midnight. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but don't expect for me to be doing this that much longer. All right.
Amen.
Praise God.